Welcome back to the Gubba Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears. I discuss everything from homesteading to prepping and everything in between. So grab a warm mug of broth or herbal tea, settle into something cozy, and maybe look outside at the land around you, the trees, the light, the quiet messages. Nature is always whispering to us. Even if you live in a concrete jungle, nature always finds a way. That's my personal opinion. Because today we are talking about something ancient, something intuitive, something our bodies still remember, even if our modern world has forgotten. We are talking about eating seasonally. So aligning our plates, our microbiome, our rhythms, and our well-being with the natural cycles that sustained our ancestors for thousands of years. Here on the homestead, seasons aren't just a theme we post about online. They guide everything. We just had daylight savings time, which I genuinely believe is psychological warfare, as it takes us out of our natural rhythms and disconnects us from nature. It's jarring moving the time on us in our bodies, and I feel the rhythms in the soil when I plant, in the pantry shelves when I preserve, in the animals' rhythms when I'm out there with them, in my energy levels, in the way the earth smells in different months even. There's mud on my boots in spring from prepping garden beds, sticky berry stains on my hands in summer from gathering fruit like my raspberries out in the garden, the warm perfume of simmering squash and broth in fall, yum. I'm actually looking forward to making broth from the turkey carcass for Thanksgiving here soon, and the slow, comforting hum of soups and stews filling the house in winter. I'll be honest, it is fall now, and my boots are covered in muck every time I go out to milk the goats. It's quite the sight, and actually one time in the spring, I wore sandals out after a rain and made the mistake of stepping around my goat's hay feeder, and all the muck seeped into my shoes. Now, that was something. I was running so fast to my frost-free hydrant to rinse off my feet. But living close to nature reminds you that life is not meant to be the same every month, not in what we eat, how we move, or even how we rest. And yet, somewhere along the way, as convenience rose and industry replaced intuition, we lost that rhythm. We got refrigerated trucks, global distribution systems, and supermarket culture made it so we can eat strawberries in December, watermelon in January, and tomatoes every single week of the year. But just because we can doesn't mean we should, and our bodies know it. Seriously, our bodies are amazing. I believe they are self-healing. They are so smart. And that's why the whole system is after our bodies. They want us to do things to harm our bodies. But anyways, let's imagine our ancestors for a moment. They didn't write seasonal eating on mason jar labels or talk about it in wellness circles. It wasn't a trend. It was their life. Food wasn't a constant buffet or whatever sounded good. It was what the land offered, what was growing, what could be gathered, what could be hunted, or what could be preserved with wisdom and patience through the seasons. So in spring, they reached for bitter greens and cleansing herbs that woke the liver up from the winter slumber. Because remember, our bodies are in a cycle as well. In summer, you have the juicy fruits and the cooling vegetables, kept them hydrated through the labor that they were doing out in the sun. And I talk about this a lot. Our ancestors were not lugging around Stanley cups. They were hydrating their bodies other ways. And then in the fall, they had the hearty roots, the squashes, the fats, and grains that nourished them and prepared them for the cold months. So in winter, they relied on animal fats, broths, fermented vegetables, dried herbs, and whatever root crops they had stored away or preserved. So these dense calories for warmth and survival. So you see how there's a cycle for the food in our bodies and how we're going about things. I think that is so fascinating. There were seasons for sweetness, seasons for fat, seasons for cleansing, seasons for fasting, seasons for abundance, and seasons for stillness. So nature guided our ancestors, and because of that, they thrived in harmony rather than fighting their intuitive biology. And here's where it gets really fascinating. fascinating. So our gut microbiome, which is the trillions of bacteria that live in our digestive system, they also cycle with the season, just like the soil microbes outside do. So studies have shown that gut bacteria in populations that still live traditionally shift throughout the year. So different food fibers feed different microbes, and the body benefits from these shifts. And if you think about it, antibiotics affect the microbiome and kill off different kinds of bacteria. And we are such an antibiotic-rich generation where they are prescribed for everything. So think about how that affects our microbiome and our cycle with the seasons. And in the winter, microbes that help extract energy from fats and starches, they flourish. In the summer, microbes that support hydration and fresh plant digestion thrive. So our immune system even changes with the seasons. Certain immune cells increase at different times of the year, working in sync with our environment. Seasonal eating isn't woo-woo, it's just our biology, how we were created. It's so amazing and fascinating to think that this is just the way we were created. And I think it's amazing that our bodies intuitively work with nature. But if you think about how disrupted we've become with our food, with our lighting, no wonder we are so out of sync. We have a natural rhythm that our gut, our hormones, our detox pathways, our immune system, and our metabolism are all built around. So if you think of your gut like a garden, if you only plant one thing, your soil becomes depleted of nutrients. If you only eat the same foods all year, the same greens, the same fruits, the same grains, the same proteins, your microbiome becomes narrow. And narrow equals fragile. You don't have a variety that is going to cover you and help your body through transitions. And your body is just constantly trying to balance. So seasonal diversity, on the other hand, builds that microbial strength. You have a variety throughout the year. And like I said earlier, there's different microbiomes that work through the different seasons, like the ones that process the fats or the sugars. And the gut thrives on change, on different fibers, fermentable carbohydrates, bitter compounds, mineral profiles, and nutrient densities. And here's a secret most people never think about. The microbes on local foods, the ones actually growing in your soil or local to you, also shape your internal ecosystem. So when you eat local produce, raw dairy from a local farm, honey from a local beekeeper, fermented vegetables made with microbes from your air local to you, you are inoculating your body with the same microbial landscape you are living in. How cool is that? This is why, among all the reasons, I say go local. Not only to support your local community, but it's also supporting your body. That means that your immune system learns your environment. It learns what is safe, what's not safe, what pollen is normal for your area, what microbes are beneficial and normal. And if you think about today, people struggle with allergies, sensitivities, autoimmune flares, and chronic inflammation. And I feel like this is happening at younger and younger ages. And part of that is because our bodies are no longer receiving microbial education from our local surrounding system. I also think it's due to what's being sprayed in the air and what is injected into us. I mean, 25 vaccines for a baby before they are one. Come on. Seriously, go look at the schedule. And I tap dance around that a lot on social media of saying, oh, like babies can't have honey, but they can have 25 injections before the age of one, or 25 vaccines. That is literal insanity. And then we wonder, why is everybody allergic to peanut butter? Why is everybody allergic to eggs? Why are these all these autoimmune disorders? Why are kids having more and more speech delays? Like, what is going on? Like, just wake up for a moment. Just ask some simple questions, okay? But yes, eating locally and growing your own food if you can, just going as local as possible for your gut is so beneficial. And when you have a healthy gut, you are going to have more of a healthy connection with your surroundings and your body. But instead of getting information from the land, if you are eating that ultra-processed slop from the store, and you are living in a sterilized home, you know, where you're wiping everything with Clorox, which is so dangerous, don't do it. It's so bad. It's bad for you and your pets. And you're using antibacterial products, which are based on, okay, pseudoscience, all right? We are so scared of these little imaginary things. That's really how they got us in 2020. Anyways, and if you eat that factory washed and radiated, globally shipped produce that has more sticker residue than living life on it, what do you think is going to happen to your body? Like, just think about it. And so that goes back to my point that they are constantly after our bodies, because our bodies, I believe they are self-regulating, they are self-healing. So it makes sense they're constantly trying to destroy us. I mean, 25 vaccines before the age of one. I could not believe it when I looked into the schedule. That is more vaccines than I have had in my entire life. Babies in their first year. That is sick. That is disgusting. But coming back to our health and things that you can do to help better yourself, definitely eating seasonally, eating locally as much as possible. I'm sorry. I just get so heated thinking about that. I talk about it a lot on socials, but I approach it with, wait, babies can't have honey, this natural food, because it might contain botulism, but they can have, you know, mercury and formaldehyde and all this toxic garbage injected into them. Oh my gosh. I think about this every day. I really do, because it is so just unbelievable to think about. And sometimes I stumble on when I'm scrolling of people saying, oh, like I did it for the better good. My baby screamed a scream I have never heard before, but I knew it was for the better good. Do you see how disconnected they've even made us from our babies to make us be like, oh, well, this is just for the better good. My child is in agony and they're screaming and something is obviously wrong, but I'm going to trust the person who has a piece of paper on the wall with my baby. Like, you're just going against all of your intuition, and it is so bothersome. It really is a ritual. And you do not have to put your baby on that ritual platter at the doctor's office. You can decide for yourself. Anyways, all right, back to seasonal eating. But spring is a perfect example of how elegantly the earth feeds the body. I love spring. It's so beautiful. And it is an example of how deeply nature understands us. So after a long winter, which we're about to go into right now, and I already miss the sun, but when foods were traditionally heavier and fattier and more preserved, spring arrives with bitter greens, tender shoots, sprouts, herbs, and fresh eggs. Oh, I love eggs in the spring and the milk, but these foods naturally stimulate the liver. They encourage gentle detoxification, support digestion, and replenish the minerals. So, like, they're helping wake your body back up. How cool is that? So think about dandelions, a plant that is so demonized and attacked. It grows freely in our yards and supports our liver and whole body, really. The spring plants wake us up as we are waking up ourselves. So it's waking up our body. We're coming out of this slumber, kind of like bears and their natural sleep cycle in the winter. We're kind of like that. But anyone who has eaten fresh nettles, dandelion greens, spring onions, or young herbs right out of the soil knows that unmistakable taste. It's vibrant, slightly bitter, but alive. So especially dandelion roots, which I like to make dandelion root tea in the spring. It is bitter, so that's why I add honey, but they are like nature's reset button. Our microbiome responds by shifting toward bacteria that metabolize fresh plant compounds, enzyme surge, and energy begins to rise. We crave movement again. The earth opens and so do we. It's just so cool. I love the sync that we have with nature and how it was created. Then comes summer, which is my favorite season. I love the sun. It's the season of warmth, expansion, long days, and hard work. So the garden beds explode with food. The air smells like fruit and grass and sun-warm soil. Food becomes juicy and hydrating and mineral-rich, taking up all those minerals from the soil. Berries are staining your fingers or your clothes. In my case, cucumbers crunch with cooling water. Oh, so good. And tomatoes burst with the sunlight and melons drip down your wrist. I ate so many watermelons this past summer. I loved it. And these foods are not accidents. So they are hydration, glucose for higher activity levels, antioxidants to support sun exposure. So think about that. Think about nature's giving you food that's going to support your skin in the season with a lot of sun. So vitamin C for skin and immunity, and natural electrolytes to replace what's lost in sweat. So when the body is warm, digestion speeds up and raw foods feel good. Nature knows this. The gut shifts again, favoring microbes that thrive on fresh fiber and raw enzymes. And emotionally, summer food carries joy. Isn't that so cool? So we have the bright flavors, the quick meals, gatherings around the garden or grill. It is abundance embodied. So each of these seasons are like a different flavor. And then just as the heat begins to soften and the leaves hint at gold, fall arrives and our bodies instinctively shift again. We crave warmth, deeper flavors, complex carbohydrates, minerals, and grounding density. So the earth gives us root vegetables, squashes, apples, pears, herbs going to seed, and final bursts of late summer produce. Man, I had so many pears this year. I loved it. This is the season of broth simmering on the stove. Do not throw away your turkey carcasses because you can make broth from that. Roasted vegetables caramelizing in the oven, long walks through crisp air, the first sweaters, the first fire in the wood stove. Fall foods feed microbes that strengthen gut lining, stabilize blood sugar, and prepare the body for colder months. This is when traditional cultures increased fermented foods, consumed more cultured dairy, and made sourdough. Our ancestors didn't know about the microbiome, yet at the same time, they knew everything about it. Isn't that so beautiful? I just love that. It's fascinating. And then winter, the rest season. So the season of rest, the season of fat and broth and warmth and stews and mineral-rich soups and storage crops and preserved vegetables and fermented foods. So the body slows, digestion needs warmth and simplicity. So winter foods provide deep nourishment, collagen for tissue repair, gelatin for gut health, fats for warmth and hormone support, slow cooked meals for digestion, ferments for immune protection and the gut microbiome diversity. So historically, winter was also a time of intermittent fasting, not by intention, but reality. So there was less food, simpler meals, metabolic rest. So the gut shifts again, emphasizing microbes that extract energy efficiently and support fat metabolism. So modern culture fears fats and carbs, but traditional winter diets included both, always in their whole forms, always paired with movement, cold exposure, and rest. That's also something that's so interesting too. We are so prone to stay away from like the heat of the summer. We need to be in air conditioning and we need to stay away from the cold of winter. We need to be in somewhere that's heated. Yes, but also that disconnects us again from that natural rhythm, like go out and feel the cold. Go out and feel the heat. And I think this actually makes your body stronger. And it's for winter, it is just the season of deep, concentrated nourishment and metabolic recalibration and just rest. Your body's gone all year. And here's the beautiful thread weaving through all of this. Eating seasonally naturally balances your hormones, which are so caught off guard with all of the chemicals in the air, all of the chemicals in our products, your immune system. So eating seasonally naturally balances your immune system, your energy, and your metabolism. It aligns your rhythms, your internal rhythms of your heart, and it supports your liver and your lymphatic system and improves the gut barrier function. We have leaky gut that is so common nowadays. A lot of because diet, but also because those things that we're getting injected, right? And it encourages microbial diversity. It reconnects you with the land, whether that land is a farm, a backyard garden, a farmer's market, your backyard, whatever it is. When you eat from your region, you're truly living in your environment. Not just existing in it. You ride the same rhythms of the soil, the trees, the bees, the sunlight. You're not outsourcing outsourcing your biology to somewhere in Chile where they're growing berries or imported apples or lettuce grown in a fluorescent hydroponic warehouse. You're supporting local farmers, honoring the earth where you live, and nourishing yourself through relationship rather than convenience. And that relationship is so important. And I'm telling you now, that relationship with your local community is going to be vital in the future as the world starts to collapse. It's not if, it's definitely when. Build up your community, know where to find food. And the longer I live this way, the more obvious the connection becomes between seasonal eating and seasonal living overall. In spring, you feel that itch to clean and organize and move your body, plant seeds, you're excited. And sometimes, you know, I bite off more than what I can handle. And then I realize that later in the season, I'm like, why? Why did I plant so much? Because this is a lot. But in summer, your energy rises and you're staying out longer and you move more. I'm up all day in the summer. I love where I live because there's so much sunlight. But again, in the winter, there's like no sunlight at all. But in fall, you feel yourself slowing down, preparing, preserving, grounding. That's what I'm feeling right now. And then in winter, your body asks for rest, and honor that. It asks for warmth, quiet, reflection, and just preparing for the next cycle again. So our bodies crave this instinctively, but our modern system pushes the same pace all year, same hours, same food, same stress, same routines. No wonder our bodies rebel and we're sick. Nature cycles, and so must we. So eating this way changes your skin too, because your skin is not separate from your internal health, okay? The fats you eat in winter become the fats that support your skin barrier. The minerals from spring greens support your detox pathways. The antioxidants from summer fruit protect the collagen in your skin. And the fermented foods in fall and winter feed your skin microbiome just as much as your gut. This is why I always say nourishment on your plate and nourishment on your skin go hand in hand. Our skin does not need lab-made chemical substitutes. Let me say that again. Our skin does not need lab-made chemical substitutes. It thrives on natural fats, minerals, and bioavailable compounds just as much as our gut does. When you support your body with real ancestral ingredients, topically like tallow, herbs, oils, and botanical infusions, your skin recognizes it like it recognizes spring greens and autumn squash. Nature knows nature, and that's why I only use tallow as a moisturizer, and my skin glows. It literally glows. I look at my skin in photos before I started using tallow, and I had constant rolling breakouts. Even though I was eating healthy and going through the seasons and this big transition, what I didn't realize is that what you put on your skin affects your skin. I'm telling you, tallow moisturizers are the way to go. You can check mine out at arvati.com. They are small batch made with locally sourced tallow. So ARVOTI.com, the best tallow moisturizer you will find. I promise you, it will change your skin just like eating more locally and eating seasonally will. But how do we return to seasonal eating in a world where you can buy blueberries in December and tomatoes every month of the year? You start small. You start local and just stay curious. So notice what produce show up at your farmer's market each month and grow even one or two things at home. If you can, if you can't, that's okay. If you have to source local, and I know prices may be more than the grocery stores. You have to understand that the grocery stores, they have subsidies to make those prices cheap, even though prices are skyrocketing right now. Now is the best time to go local, and I think you'd find good deals, but you could do herbs and pots at home. You could do lettuce in a bed, a cherry tomato plant by the patio on your front porch, but learn what fruits and vegetables naturally grow in your area and when. Choose raw dairy from a local farm if available. Buy local honey, not honey shipped from across the world, honey shipped from mostly China. Oh gosh, don't even get me started. It is so bad. Just don't do it. Go local. It's going to be so good, and you're going to taste the difference. You're going to feel the difference. You can ferment something. You can ferment a jar of carrots, sauerkraut, kefir, like whatever calls to you. Ferment some food. It is so good for you. And pay attention to what your body craves as the seasons shift. So those cravings are not random. That desire for fresh, crisp vegetables in early spring or rich broths in winter is not a coincidence. It's your biology remembering and telling you. And the more you become in tune with your body, the better you are going to feel. Like, lean into that intuition. And most importantly, build a relationship with your food again. Because seasonal eating is not rigid. It's not a perfection game. It's just like returning, remembering that gentle tuning in to the earth's clock, but how we were created. And I think that's so beautiful. It's learning the timing of asparagus shoots, the excitement of first ripe raspberries, the sweetness of late summer corn, and then that warmth of the broth. It's just returning to that intuition that I keep bringing up. But again, we've just been so disconnected. And I speak on that because I was so disconnected, but I feel like I'm coming back into that and I feel so good. So as you move through your week, maybe take a moment at the store or the market or your garden and simply ask, what is the earth offering right now? Then honor that, embrace it, taste it, let your body relearn the rhythm it was born with. Eat with the seasons, trust the wisdom of your body and how you were created. Honor the land you live on or near. And remember, every time you cook, ferment, gather, forage, plant, harvest, or nourish yourself, you are participating in one of the most ancient health practices that exists. You aren't just feeding your body, you're feeding your microbiome, your lineage, your nervous system, and I believe your soul, just that whole connectivity. So until next time, stay curious, and I appreciate you so much for being here and listening. And if you want to nourish your skin the same way you nourish your body, simply seasonally and ancestrally, you know where to find my handmade talc balms and natural skin essentials. They're made with the same philosophy we talked about today. Simple, real, traditional, effective, and in harmony with our body's design. Just, oh man, I wish I knew about tallow in my natural skincare when I was a teenager. That would have saved me from such hormone imbalance, self-consciousness from acne, and oh, all the chemicals that I used on my skin. But so make sure to check it out or help a friend who is struggling, because I make good stuff that is nourishing and I stand behind. But thank you so much for staying here and listening, and I hope to see you next time. Until then, happy seasonal eating and happy homesteading, and I'll see you next time. Bye.